Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
Play action on second and five. Foles end zone. Pass caught. Touchdown Westbrook. And Dede Westbrook, who was featured on that drive, there to receive the perfect throw from Nick Foles.
Middays on the Score.
That's new Chicago Bears quarterback Nick Foles, Joe Buck. That highlight courtesy of Fox. Here to give us his thoughts on this new man in the Bears quarterback room is Chris Perkins, NFL writer for The Athletic. He is on Twitter at Chris Perk, and he joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. How you hanging in, Chris?
I'm making it, man. I'm making it. You know, the funny thing for NFL writers, the stay at home and then don't go to the office, that doesn't apply to us because we're staying at home at this time of the year anyway. Free agency is going on as planned. But, yeah, I'm hanging in, man. Obviously, you can't ignore everything that's going on around you, whether it's, the COVID-19 or Tom Brady or Nick Foles. So, but, you know, you do the best you can, right?
Well, yeah, absolutely. With Foles, you guys are in for a rude awakening once everything comes around. I think we all are, too. With Foles, though, you write up a little piece on him and his kind of trial and trail through the NFL. How much does it matter to you that he's only been an anointed starter two, maybe three times, depending on how you slice it up, in his career? And each one of those times has been kind of met with adversity from outside and from within the player himself.
Yeah, you know, my opinion on Nick Foles is he's not that good. He's an NFL starting quarterback, but he's by no means an elite quarterback. And if you get him and you think that that's what he's going to be, then your team is going to be in trouble. Now, you know, if you get him and you give this guy some help, you put a good run game with him offensively, and you put a good defense on the other side of the field, okay, now you have a chance, right? Look at how he thrived with Philly. But if you get this guy, and, you know, it's not Nick Foles' fault. You know, it's the expectations and the role that the organization puts on him. But, again, if you get him and you expect him to play the role of Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees or Tom Brady, you're setting yourself up for disappointment.
You used the term fool's gold. You said Foles, as it turns out, was pyrite. Fool's gold. Who's the fool?
The organization, the teams that put him in a situation where he has to be the man. Again, get this guy a good running game and a good defense, and you've got a chance. But if you expect Nick Foles to come in there and be a big arm and throw you out of every third down situation and get touchdowns every time he's in the red zone and throw guys open and do all that stuff that elite quarterbacks are, then the GM or the owner or the head coach or whoever assigned that role to him, they are the fool. Again, I really don't fault Nick Foles through any of this, because Nick Foles is not a guy who's out there beating his chest saying, I'm the man and I should have been starting over Carson Wentz the whole time. And by that, Nick Foles has not done that. So I don't blame Nick Foles. The guy is, again, he's a starting caliber quarterback, but he's very limited, and you better put some help around him. I think the Bears are in good shape to do that. You know, I don't think that they're bringing him in with the idea that he's going to be the savior. You do have a good defense there, so I think, you know, we'll see what happens in his battle with Trubisky. But I think it's a better role for him. In Jacksonville, they actually had a decent role for him because they did have a decent defense with remnants of one, and they had Leonard Fournette, but he got hurt, and Gardner Minshew came in, and that was the end of it for Foles.
When things are going well for Nick Foles, in the passing game, you mentioned the reliance on the defense and a running game to get him to where he needs to be. in terms of production. But when he is throwing the ball well, when it's coming out of the hand correctly, where is he hitting receivers? What types of routes does he throw best in your estimation? Who does he look for to make plays?
Well, I think that Nick Foles, I'll say this about him. He's a guy who is capable of getting hot and carrying the team for a stretch. And he does it in a variety of ways, whether it's a controlled passing game or hitting guys deep. But the guy seems to have a knack for getting hot and making plays. And we saw that all throughout the playoffs with Philadelphia, didn't we? Where, I think he had 6 touchdowns and 1 interception, I believe it was, through those playoffs, 971 passing yards, something along those lines. But he was a guy who, look, Nick Foles is not going to be hot for 16 games through the year and then 3 playoff games. But he's capable of a 3-4, maybe even 6 or 7 game stretch where he can carry a team. That's what happened with Philly in the playoffs. And so when Nick Foles is doing that, you know, really everything is working for him, whether he's using his feet or whether he's using his arm or whatever it is, he's using the resources around him. Everything really seems to go well for him. But when he's not playing well, you've got to help this guy out because you can't count on him to continually play well for, you know, an entire season. Again, some stretches, yes, but not an entire season.
All right, so if I'm looking at this scientifically, the way you phrase it and your description of him able to be hot, he's able to get on a roll, whether it's in a game or over a course, what is it, how do you bottle that? If you're Matt Nagy and John DeFilippo and Bill Lazor and Dave Ragone and all the guys, this consortium of offensive genius, how do they say, here's what is going on when he's hot, here's what is going on when he's not, how do we maximize this and minimize that?
Well, it's interesting that you bring up Bill Lazor's name because I was here in Miami when he was the offensive coordinator with the Dolphins, and Ryan Tannehill was the quarterback, and that was when Joe Philbin is head coach, and I thought that Tannehill was miscast here, kind of the way I'm talking about, don't miscast Nick Foles from the standpoint of they expected Tannehill to do more than he was capable of doing. And I hope Bill Lazor has kind of, grown from that. I think he's been to Cincinnati since then, right? Cincinnati and then to you guys. But he's a more seasoned, more aware NFL coach. And, I think if they, again, if they don't ask too much of him, of Nick Foles I'm speaking about, then I think they'll be okay. So, really, Lazor, but they were counting on Tannehill to be the big right arm, to be that big passing thing. And, I kept saying this is a guy who you need to pair with a running back. And, Tennessee did it with Derrick Henry. So, as far as the coaches, as long as they know what they're doing with Nick Foles and what Nick Foles brings them. And look, the guy has got years of film. Everybody knows what he is. Just don't ask the guy to do too much, and I think you'll be okay.
Since you covered him in Miami, what kind of guy is Bill Lazor? What's his bread and butter, and do you expect him to work well with others? Because that's going to be the situation here, I think.
Yeah, it is. I like Bill Lazor. I didn't know what the Tannehill thing was all about from the standpoint, was this Lazor or was this Joe Philbin? Because Joe Philbin came here to Miami with a reputation of having worked with quarterbacks with Aaron Rodgers up there in Green Bay, so it was definitely his offense from that standpoint, and I think Lazor was kind of given some instructions of this is how things are going to work, but I like Bill Lazor. I like him as a person. I like him as a coach. I think that I don't think he's the next Sean McVay, and I don't know if that's what you want, considering they didn't even make the playoffs this year. But I think he's a sharp guy with a bright mind, and I do think that he'll do well. I think he's a team guy. He's not a ego coach where he's pounding his fist on the desk and saying, screw the rest of you guys, I'm going to do it this way. So I think he'll do just fine there, quite honestly.
The top of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern football. Coach Fitz and the Wildcats host Nebraska and Maryland this fall at Ryan Field. Buy tickets now at nusports.com. We're having a conversation with Chris Perkins, NFL writer for The Athletic. A little bit of breaking Bears news here. Adam Schefter says a guy we were just discussing, free agent safety Deion Bush, signing back with the Bears
on
a one-year, $1.4 million deal. So that gives him somebody in the mix there, perhaps to replace Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, who left to sign with the Dallas Cowboys. So, Chris, everybody describes Nick Foles as a good guy. What's his personality type like, and how do you expect he's going to get along with Mitchell Trubisky?
You know, quite honestly, I don't know Nick Foles. I only know him from a distance. He really seems to be a humble, level-headed guy. You know, a guy who isn't really too concerned with the limelight and proving anything that, you know, I'm a top quarterback or anything like that. I think he's a guy who just wants to get the job done. So I think he's going to fit in fine there. He's got the new contract. And I think that kind of lowers expectations for both him and probably for the fans there. So, I really do think he's going to do just fine there. I don't expect him to go to the Pro Bowl or anything like that, but I think he's going to do just fine there. By the way, I will say this about Nick. His dad has some good restaurants down in Texas called Cover 3. They're kind of like upscale sports bars in San Antonio and Austin. So, you know, if you talk to Nick and you mention that, he might appreciate it. But I've been to them. They truly are pretty solid places, man. I like them.
What kind of, like, barbecue places? Like, what are they up to?
No, they're upscale sports bars. So, you know, you could have, like, a fancy version of nachos or, you know, it's just going to be more adult food as opposed to, you know, just burgers and fries. You know, it's a really, really good spot, man. Really good spot, I should say, because there's a chain on.
Because you cover the Dolphins as well, just apropos of nothing, what's the deal now with Josh Rosen?
Oh, boy. Josh Rosen is in a tough spot. The Dolphins would get rid of him in a hot second. I think if they got a fourth-round offer for him, they would rid of him. But look, you know, Josh is a guy who it just hasn't worked for him, and you can say that he never got a fair chance in Arizona. You could say that he never got a fair chance here. From the standpoint in Arizona, you got the first year coach Steve Wilks, and that was a bad team. I think they went 3-13, if I'm not mistaken, and I think he was 3-10 as the starter. He comes here to Miami, and Ryan Fitzpatrick is here, and the first year coach Brian Flores and the Tank for Tua talk. But quite honestly, he couldn't even beat out Ryan Fitzpatrick, and I think Fitzpatrick did beat him out in training camp. So. And that's the long way. That's the long way of saying if you can't beat out Ryan Fitzpatrick, your future in the NFL as a starter is very bleak. And I like Ryan Fitzpatrick, but we know what Ryan Fitzpatrick is. He's an average to below average quarterback. We all love his personality. He did great leading the Dolphins to a 5-11 record. But you know, in the case of Rosen, you were the number 10 pick of the draft, and you can't beat out Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's just not good enough. That's really what it is with Josh Rosen. So to this point of his career.
Assuming we have a draft here in the next little bit, are the Dolphins targeting a quarterback? Has the whole tank for Tua worked, or will they shift focus knowing that they did not get the top pick they wanted?
Well, the narrative of tank for Tua didn't work because, you know, they won 5 games, but they love Tua. They absolutely love him, and, you know, that's not, you know, breaking any news. I think every team probably loves Tua. I think, to me, the break point, the real theme for the Dolphins is you're probably not getting Tua at number 5. You probably have to get up to number 3. And are you willing to give up what it takes to get to number 3? And do you accept the fact that Tua is a medical red flag? You might only get 5 good years out of Tua. Because, look, the two ankles and the hip, again, you go into this thing with your eyes open. So if the Dolphins can accept that, nobody is disputing Tua's talent, but the cost to get him and how long will you have him, if you're comfortable with those things, sure, go up there and get him. But I I think the Dolphins are going to end up with Justin Herbert at number five. That's just what I think.
Wow. See, when you mention the two ankles and the hip, and you talk about what has happened, I just think about what would happen or could happen. How is he made? Of what kind of stuff is he made? And some people just aren't made of the same strong stuff as others. And as this has happened, whether or not he's recovered from these injuries, and we don't know. It's the holy grail of sports, right? Finding out biomarkers and Modus sleeves and all the stuff that can predict injury. My biggest concern is what he's just made of and what the next thing could be.
Yeah, I'm just going to take a guess here, but I'm guessing if you're injury prone in college, it's not going to get much better for you in the NFL. So again, nobody disputes the talent, and the guy is a winner, and he's accurate as whatever you want to say, all that good stuff. But if the dude can't stay healthy, if he can't stay on the field for you, and you traded up to get him, and you're thinking this is the next franchise quarterback, you could be setting yourself up for disappointment. And that's, to me, that's really the biggest thing with Tua. Again, the Dolphins have three first-round picks and two second-round picks. They have two first-round picks next year. So with all of that, if you feel comfortable paying the price, okay, sure, go ahead. The bigger thing to me is the medical red flag, but I just don't think this guy is going to get any healthier. He's just injury prone or a medical red flag or however you want to say it.
Chris Perkins, that was some very solid football discussion.
Appreciate
you,
man.
Glad you took the time for us. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Anytime.
That is Chris Perkins, an NFL writer for The Athletic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.